Friday edition of the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We are on the air, and we're going to get to it talking some football today. Don't forget, subscribe to Scoops with Danny Mac wherever you listen to podcasts. You can catch up on all the fun we've had this week. Yesterday, Dan and I sat down for about 45 minutes. We had a Thursday list, sport fans' faux pas. So check that out. It's about at the 35-minute mark. Then tweet us your sports faux pas. I've already gotten some great ones. We'll read them next week. Coming up in a moment, Ben Heisler is going to join us from Sports Illustrated. He'll talk some DFS and gambling with us. Then we'll head down to Memphis. Just want to check in, have a chat with my buddy Peter Edmiston, my old co-host down there. See how the SEC country is dealing with the issues that the country and the SEC is dealing with. So all that coming up on this Friday edition of the program on the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Friday means that we get to talk to Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated, DFS, gambling. Ben joins us on Fridays to give us his take on the weekend. We'll talk a little golf. We'll talk football as well. But I need to air a grievance first, Ben, because last week I gave you one for free. I unveiled one of my entrepreneurial gems, something from my war chest, called TV Jukebox. And I was actually in Kansas City last weekend with my family, and we went out to have a little lunch while college football was on. And I won't name the establishment, but we were in a place with, you know, dozens and dozens of beautiful giant TVs. And I swear to you, at noon last Saturday, half of them were on the OTB channel, the horse racing channel, and the other half was showing like a boxing replay on ESPN News from the night before. Why can we not figure this out as a society? And shout out to the horse racing guy. You can appreciate horse racing guy at noon on the Saturday.
Bring to some of the degenerates with the OTB channel on, and we do a weekly race of the week over at Sports Illustrated. And you know, our horse racing insider, he does more than just horse racing. You know, we have to have some limitations on our budget, but Frankie Tadeo has been locked in with some of his horse racing picks and hit on a 443-1 bet at one point this year. It's flat out insane. So I commend the bar for doing that, but like at some point, just pre-plan your channels. I've never understood why this is such an issue, especially if you're an establishment that you know people are going to be in for a while. You've already had to social distance. You've already tried to go through all the rigmarole of everything happening in society. Like, pre-plan this stuff. You know that the games are going to be on. Just spread it out. And at some point, boxing from the night before, boxing is already a tough sell, you know, unless it's live.
Yeah, and it was like free boxing. Yeah, it was free boxing from the night before. So boxing that no one was watching.
You got to change that.
Yeah, we are going to fix this problem at some point. Ben Heisler is with us. Follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis and read him at si.com/fantasy, si.com/gambling. Hey, give folks an idea, Ben, because we've talked about the daily fantasy stuff and what you do, but you guys do so much more at Sports Illustrated. You mentioned the podcast. You guys have DFS, gambling, everything covered, all sorts of content for folks, even, you know, long shot horse racing picks.
It's true. Yeah, we kind of feel like there's an opportunity to reach a lot of folks. And, you know, the horse racing part, too, I think it's us and maybe CBS occasionally has some horse racing information. And again, this just goes back to good connections, people who care and are passionate about the sport. And if we have an opportunity to include that, whether it be free over at si.com/gambling, if it's part of the subscription package, which is part of either SI Fantasy Plus, which is, you know, strictly detailing season-long fantasy, and that's about $14.95 a month, or if you're looking for both betting content and DFS content that's rolled in together, that's over at SI Fantasy Pro for just under $20 a month. So there's there's already so much room, Chris, for different ways to be able to establish new content and try to help as many folks as we can just become interested in it and sort of be able to take that next step and feel a little bit more confident. You know, we're certainly by no means a touting service. And, you know, I think sometimes that's the issue with a lot of betting information is people are selling picks, and that's never what is meant to be come across. We want to take you through the process of how we're actually going through and collecting information, where a lot of the data that we're researching is. You know, I go through, I admit to using multiple sites, that this isn't my own projection model. I'm not that smart. I just happen to follow a lot of smart people and subscribe to a lot of sites that have really good information. So how can I take that and present it in a way that's informative, somewhat entertaining? Because again, if you're reading content that you just feel you're going to be overwhelmed with, that's not fun either. It's betting. If you're betting on the NFL, you're betting on college football, this should be an enjoyable experience. And so that's what we try to bring.
Yeah, we talk golf every week with our guy, Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com, who I know you know.
He's great.
Look at Benny Heiss this week on his weekly video previewing the Zozo, gave out Sebastian Munoz. He's your first round leader. Ben, I imagine that you are wealthy beyond your wildest dreams after you cashed in on a Sebastian Munoz first round leader ticket.
See, this is the problem about having these conversations with you, Chris, before we go on air. That
dude,
I tell you, hey,
great
listen.
Man. He's leading the tournament.
I know. He got off to a good start, and part of the reason that I really liked Munoz is that he was doing everything well. He wasn't elite in any statistical category, you know, over his last 24 rounds. Like I'm getting some of my notes out now on Sebastian Munoz. Like coming in, he was, you know, right around top 20 in strokes gained. He was really good as far as his approach shots and also around the green. He was seventh strokes gained.
And you felt like the ceiling was still higher for him.
Yeah, I just thought that he had also been playing really well into his last three tournaments. I like playing guys that I still feel you can get from a DraftKings perspective in a bit of lower ownership. I like guys that are making slow trajectories further up. You know, he was coming off of back-to-back top 23, top 27 performances, and he was awesome at the CJ Cup last week. In fact, every statistical category in strokes gained, you know, he had made substantial improvements from the week before. So I just like targeting guys that are just playing really good golf that aren't necessarily, you know, top five or top 10 in something, because I think that's going to stand out and I think that's going to impact their ownership. But yeah, coming in at 90-1, I felt like he was just a guy that you could jump on board with. And, you know, silly me, I didn't end up betting him as the first round leader. So now I'm kicking myself a little bit.
Yeah, but it was still a great call. And, you know, I like him all weekend because he didn't even like putt out of his mind yesterday. He was just kind of, you know, slightly above the field. So, yeah, check out everything, not just the football, golf as well. Ben Heisler is with us from Sports Illustrated, SI.com/gambling, SI.com/fantasy. You know, we talked last week, Ben, about Vegas making an adjustment, especially in the NFL, as we had seen so many overs cashing the first couple of weeks, so many overs cashing if you were teasing them. Are we continuing to see this? What do you expect as we move forward, and how is it affecting the DFS market?
No, actually, unders, I think for really the first time all year, I think 2 weeks ago, unders were 6-2 in the early slate, and then pretty much all the overs hit. But you're starting to see the unders catch up a little bit, and they're still close. Like a lot of these games are still projected in the mid-50s, low-50s. A couple of them are in the mid-40s still. That's not going to change. You know, the Bears and the Rams, for example, on Monday night. No surprise there that game is a projected total of about 45. And you saw in the Thursday night game last night, that game ended up hitting substantially on the under as well. Actually, I take that back. I think the under hit by maybe about two and a half points.
Yeah, but it was late. It was late
Giants.
Points, right? Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, it was late points. You know, Carson Wentz got that big go ahead touchdown, and that was a game that actually, you know, even though the Eagles won, it went against the sharp side of Philadelphia 4.5. After that line dropped quite a bit. But I mean, you're seeing some high totals this week too, Chris. Green Bay and Houston, we've seen that move up all the way to 57. You know, Carolina and New Orleans is in the low to mid 50s. Pittsburgh and Tennessee. I think every Tennessee game has probably hit the over this year. I'd have to double check that number. Detroit, Atlanta in the mid-50s as well. So I don't think it's going to be necessarily a trend that goes away, but you're also starting to factor in a little bit of cold weather. This is the first time in a long time, Chris, that I've seen the Chiefs right now at a number under 47 in probably about a year or so. Again, don't quote me on that, but you know, I tend to follow the Chiefs fairly closely here in Kansas City. This game opened up at 49 and has since moved down to 46. And Denver's got a solid defense. They're playing at Mile High, so there's a bit of a home field advantage there, but a lot of swirling winds, cold weather, not necessarily snow, but it's going to be uncomfortable. And yes, when it comes to DFS, weather is important. Not necessarily rain, not necessarily snow, but wind. Yeah, you're going to see totals plunge as a result of, you know, anything above 20 mile per hour swirling winds. It's going to impact the quarterback. It's going to impact an opportunity to go deep. And you're starting to notice that currently in the Kansas City Denver game.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Titans, because I feel like there is this perception that they are this ground and pound, grinded out team, which maybe historically they've been, and maybe their running game has been their strength in recent history. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill, the numbers are unbelievable. They are scoring, like you said. Is there a team, or are the Titans the best example, or is there another team that maybe you can take advantage of public perception and they're actually scoring more, they're performing as a team or individual pieces better than people expect on a DFS basis?
It's a great question. I think Tennessee probably is sort of that clear-cut pick. You can also sort of take advantage of the idea of teams that maybe that should be doing better that the public is still waiting to come around on. You know, I think, for an example, Tampa Bay was one of those teams for a while, and you know, they started to get themselves back on track. That was a big win for them Sunday afternoon against Green Bay. You know, I think about the team like Houston. Houston was a playoff team last year. J.J. Watt still on the defensive side of the ball. I think folks are still surprised at how much their defense has really struggled. It was part of the reason that Romeo Crennel decided to go for two to take a 9-point lead as opposed to just kicking the extra point for an 8-point lead, and ended up backfiring as they lost in overtime to Tennessee. So I think, especially from a DFS side, it's not necessarily the offense, because you're always going to be matchup based anyway. But take a look at a lot of these defenses where you're noticing maybe necessarily a couple trends going in either way. I think people still think the New Orleans defense is halfway decent. They've been flat out terrible this year. And in fact, tight ends have destroyed them. Running backs, pass catching running backs have done very well against the Saints. You know, wide receivers in the slot have done a very good job. That's why DJ Moore is a really intriguing play for Carolina this week. So yeah, I think sometimes name brand recognition, Chris, can go a long way. But look at the numbers, because we're starting to get a bigger sample size each and every week.
Ben Heisler is with us. SI.com/fantasy. SI.com/gambling is where you go. I'll ask you what I ask you each week. Ben, give me a game or a couple of games that you are maybe focusing on, games that you think can be good building blocks to stack your lineups, or places where you might have an advantage this week from either a wagering or a DFS standpoint.
Well, I mentioned Green Bay and Houston. I think that's sort of the projected shootout of the week. A lot of it is dependent on David Bakhtiari, the left tackle for Green Bay, whether or not he's going to be healthy or not. But even if he's not, I have a hard time seeing Aaron Rodgers struggle mightily for the second consecutive week, knowing the type of impact that he's had on this team. Having Davante Adams back, assuming Robert Tonyan, their tight end, is also healthy, he should be in good shape there. It's a high total. Deshaun Watson's offense has looked substantially better the moment they got rid of Bill O'Brien. So I'm expecting plenty of points on that side. It wouldn't surprise me if the total even goes up past 57. So plenty of Packers this week, plenty of Texans this week. Same thing goes with the matchup between Detroit and Atlanta. Two struggling defenses that kind of sort of do the same thing every week. They play a lot of man coverage, and two smart quarterbacks in Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan that can take advantage of that matchup. I think one matchup, Chris, that might be a little bit underlooked and maybe even undervalued in DFS this week are the Browns and the Bengals. I think they're going to be solid offensive opportunities for both of these teams. Kareem Hunt should be in a smash spot against Cincinnati. They have been bad against running backs all season long. And I also think it's an opportunity to take some pressure off of Baker Mayfield, both in dealing with that injury and also with a bad loss last week. Both of the games that Cleveland has lost, they've bounced back the next week with really solid run games. So I expect to be the same thing with Cleveland again this week. And then Cincinnati's going to have to throw the ball, and that's been a weakness of Cleveland as well. So guys like Tyler Boyd back in the mix, T. Higgins, Drew Sample, if you're looking for a punt option at tight end, Joe Burrow at quarterback, those guys are in a really good spot. And then if you're looking from, you know, maybe a bit of a low ownership play, the Patriots defense was really good last week, but they still lost the game. And I think people are going to look and say, oh, how'd you lose to Denver at home? Denver's not good. But they kept him out of the end zone. And I think it was 6 field goals for Brandon McManus, and Cam Newton was not particularly sharp coming off the COVID list. I expect him to play much better this week. San Francisco played well in prime time at home. They're traveling cross country to take on New England. Bill Belichick knows Jimmy Garoppolo very well. And conversely, I think this is a great opportunity for Cam Newton to bounce back. And Cam actually had a really good game last week, Chris, but the problem is people are going to see the box score. They're going to see the 157 yards, no passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions and think that this guy's a bum, when in reality he still had over 20 DraftKings points last week. He'll be in a much better situation this week, and I think Cam Newton might have less than 5% ownership in some of the bigger tournaments, and I think he's a terrific play.
Ben Heisler, follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis, HEISSI.com/gambling/fantasy. Can't recommend enough all of their resources. And you know, we've got Big Ten football starting tonight, Friday night Big Ten football, so maybe we'll see some weird weekend upsets in the first weekend of Big Ten football. This is just the crazy, weird sports potluck dinner that people keep bringing stuff to every week.
You're right. And,
the Big Ten is here on Friday night.
Yeah, no, who's got lasagna?
They've already been drinking.
Yes, I've already been drinking. The lasagna's in the oven. And, yeah, I don't know how to describe myself, Chris. Like, I'm not a big college football guy.
Dude, I tell that to people like us growing up in Chicago. That's like kind of the way it was, unless, I don't know. I was just Bears and like locked in growing up on that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was an Illinois fan because my parents went to Illinois. They didn't really care. So, you know, I grew up with the Kurt Kitner, Brandon Lloyd era of Illinois football. But I got to Indiana, and Indiana wasn't particularly good. They made it to a bowl game for the first time in God knows how many years when I got there. So I started to slowly get on board, but I couldn't really be a fan because I was covering the team and broadcasting their games every week. So my meatball fandom, this is so strange, after I left college was for Indiana football, even more so than Indiana basketball. So like, I'm fired up for Saturday to watch Indiana probably blow a lead to Penn State late because it's Indiana and that's what they do. The Indiana and Missouri, Chris, from a football perspective, have a lot of similarities. They just find unbelievable ways to lose games and break your heart late. They're kind of like the Chargers of college football.
It's a really, really good point. And they should probably just make that game an annual thing. They've played it a couple of times recently, but just call it the disappointment bowl, Indiana and Mizzou every year. At least Indiana has the basketball thing going most of the time. Mizzou can't even figure that out. So, I don't know. Apathy is the name of the game for me right now.
We'll have to see. The basketball thing is like when someone says, yeah, check's in the mail, and you're still waiting and waiting and waiting for that check. Archie, still waiting for that check, pal.
And maybe we'll do an Archie Konzo trade. Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated.
No.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother. We'll talk next week. Thanks so much.
All right, Chris.
Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized, add items on the go, plus you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. Welcome back. Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Wrapping up the week. Do us a favor. For the weekend, go on over to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Go over to where you ever listen to podcasts. Hit the subscribe, and you can catch up on what you missed this week, this weekend. Well, it's a Friday. Want to talk a little football and more. Head down to SEC Country, and we welcome in the man I used to co-host with at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sports 56 Radio in Memphis, the only person that I've consistently woken up that early for in my life. Peter Edmiston, my buddy, joins us on the program. What's up, man? How's that for an intro? You can pay me later. I'll send an invoice.
One of the great intros I've ever gotten. One of the ones that make me most proud, honestly, Chris. It's a source of pride for me and now my burgeoning family to know that about you, my friend. I miss you, buddy. I miss you. We all miss you down here, but I miss you most of all. So I hope you're well.
I am. I hope you're well. Peter Edmiston from Sports 56 Radio in Memphis, also The Athletic, does a great job covering the Grizzlies, joining us on the Chris Raby Show on a Friday. What's going on in the SEC down there, man? Like, I talked to Fish on the show last week. I guess not surprised that COVID has slowed things down a bit. Not surprised that Nick Saban was back in the mix. A little surprised that Nick Saban didn't take any time after the game last week in the press conference to scold COVID for building up his Alabama team too much during the week, for really kind of pumping their tires a little bit too much. We're seeing some of these guys, though, Peter, who generally aren't really questioned about anything and kind of have control of everything, especially in that conference, now at some points don't have control over anything. What's it been like to be right in the middle of SEC country and watch the first portion of this season kind of play out?
First of all, it's so weird because, like, you know, what even is the first portion of the season? Like, you had a group of teams that started in, you know, September. University of Memphis was among them. Then they had to wait for a month because of COVID outbreaks that were related to a quote-unquote party bus, which not a great idea amid COVID to party bus. Normally, party bus, great.
Literally, maybe the worst idea.
But yeah, that's,
during
that's,
COVID,
that's way
generally
way, way
generally great idea.
I believe Tony Fauci says that's not a great idea. Don't go on the party bus with anyone. So, you know, Memphis played 1 week. I think it was September 5th. Then was off for a month. Then came back. Was off for another week. Then back again. So other teams have played every week. The Big Ten and, you know, Pac-12 are just jumping into action this weekend. So I don't know what the hell. Are we in the middle of the season? Beginning of the season? I don't even know. I know that karma is a real thing, Chris. Because, you know, even if you don't believe in karma, karma will believe in you. You can ask Dan Mullen about that. And, you know, the idea that, you know, he would advocate for 90,000 people to fill up the swamp, then subsequently get COVID himself, and now have somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 people associated with the program also dealing with COVID. That's a little karma swinging around right there. Tough break for old Dan. These coaches can't control this. And, you know, being around here as long as you were, it's a big deal. SEC football, big deal, you know, around in so many places. And these guys are used to kind of having it all themselves and being able to control every little detail. And, you know, we don't even know if games are going to be played. We assume games will be played tomorrow, but we're all just one COVID test away from, you know, that's not being the case. So I don't know, man. It's felt weird to me. I'm sure you've talked a lot about it, but just to me, college football, especially like baseball, you know, like you can get by with no fans in the stands. You can pump in some crowd noise. Everything's like, it's weird, but like it's manageable. The NFL, it's manageable. But to me, college football suffers the most from not having, like, you know, the regular fan interaction, because that just makes it what it is to me. The pageantry and all that stuff is gone. It's weird.
And tailgating outside, obviously, not even that, but just the sheer number of people that it takes, mm-hmm. and the amount of infrastructure they all have to deal with and come into contact with for a college football team to play, much less, but then to play all over the country, you know, it's just, gosh, you think about the contact tracing and some of the things. Like baseball, I thought at the beginning of the season, like, oh, this is bad, right? Like the Cardinals, you know, mm-hmm. are missing a couple of weeks, but that's like 25 guys, and they can pare down the coaching staff, and, you know, they sat in their hotel rooms, and then those guys are professionals who make a bunch of money, so they can sit in their hotels on the road, sit at their homes at home, and I think baseball dealt with it. But, you know, college football, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people just to get that proverbial show on the road every week.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, you have some schools that are still kind of, you know, semi-virtual. Some schools are not. I get annoyed. One of my here I go again, Chris. I'm about to get on my soapbox, buddy. I don't know if you got any music or anything like that, but let's get it. I get really irritated with the administrators of these various colleges and universities and presidents and chancellors and all this nonsense. You know, talking about how, you know, you kids, you just have got to make better decisions out here. You kids are out here partying out here and drinking your alcohol and doing the skiddly bop and the 23 skidoo in these dorm rooms, and it's spreading COVID everywhere. What did you think mother's kids are going to do?
A lot of flapper girls at the particular campus you're referencing. Oh, flapper girls.
Yeah. You got out here showing your bits and pieces. Come on. You can't be doing that stuff with COVID running. What did you think kids were going to do? What did you think kids were going to do?
When you want them back on campus to generate revenue for the university.
Exactly. You want to get those that non-refundable housing deposit, and you want to get that money that goes into the coffers of the university, and then you want to scold them for being kids. You're the ones who made that decision to bring them back. You knew what you were getting yourself into. So, you know, it's much, much tougher for college football teams or basketball teams or anyone else to be able to keep their kids free from COVID and anyone else, because the campus is not going to be, it's just not, it's not an environment that makes any sense to do. And so, I'm annoyed by all of that. And I'm annoyed that like it's become a thing and people to criticize the kids. I'm not saying like you got to run out there and make a bunch of dumb decisions, but I mean, they're college kids, man. That's what you make. That's what college is for. Make a bunch of dumb decisions that you regret years later and tarnish the rest of your life. That's what it's for.
Yeah, man. Like I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, like way, way back in March, when probably like the week after everything started shutting down, there were the, you know, photos and the social media outrage of all the college kids on spring break. And I was like, listen, I don't think that these kids at various schools around the country are waking up and like checking the charts to see the, you know, growth, the exponential growth of the infection rate, and then weighing that on whether or not they should go roll around in a bunch of disease in South Padre Beach anyway. Like they're doing what they're doing because they're kids. And guess what? If I was a college kid this year and I had been waiting to go on this trip for 4 or 5 months or whatever, we would have talked ourselves into going on the trip. So now that you're telling them to come back to schools, I think that fact that for the most part, it seems like people are being fairly responsible, like it's not enough, I guess.
I think so. And we're living in a world where, you know, respected legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin is whipping out his junk on Zoom and, you know, trying to deliberate his jury while here, you know, trying to have questions. I mean, you know, if some kid wants to go to Lake of the Ozarks and, you know, she wants to body or whatever, I'm like, well, you know, they're by the grace of God go any of us. So I'm not going to get out here and start coming down on them. What I will come down on is the idea that we could do this responsibly while ignoring all these warning signs that are out there. It's just foolishness to me. So I expect adults to be adults, and I expect kids to be kids. And, you know, if the adults can't be the grownups in the situation, then I certainly don't think that the college kids are going to. What does that all mean for college football at this point, especially now with the Big Ten jumping in? And you know, if you look around the country, you know, the Big Ten's jumping in the midst of like worse COVID rates than you know, really at any point in time. You know, we set a new record for cases yesterday in the country. I know Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan. I mean, Michigan's got, I don't know if you saw this, Chris. Michigan's got a Washtenaw County, the county where the University of Michigan happens to be, has a stay-at-home order in place for the next 2 weeks, except for Halloween when Michigan is playing Minnesota, when it's like, hey, go out there and have one. Now, what the hell's the point of that? It's a two-week stay-at-home order except for a football game in which God knows how many people are going to congregate. What do we think? Is the virus just going to take a day off? Is it celebrating Halloween? When we have grown-ups making these kinds of decisions, I just don't know what chance the rest of us have.
And the virus is like, I'm dressed as a sexy virus.
I'm a naughty little virus.
Yeah.
COVID 69. Oh.
But we do know that college football in the NCAA in the best of times, act almost entirely, if not entirely, in the interests of driving revenue into their membership institutions' pockets or even their own pockets at the corporate level. So I guess you shouldn't be surprised. The Big Ten's just kind of showing up like the, you know, it's halfway through the party and they're, you know, the people that have already been out kind of drinking and no one really knows what's going on. And
no.
Let's do it on a Friday night. Illinois and Wisconsin, half drunk Big Ten is showing up.
Oh, God, you know, and I'm of two minds here because obviously all of us in this business, like, you know, I need sports to be, successful. I need it to happen. It's a vital part of my life, your life, everyone. But, you know, by the same token, if we just start being irresponsible with it, then it's going to force it right back into quarantine situations, right back into issues where we can't deal with it. It's just going to be that way. And unfortunately, you got to crawl before you walk, you know, like you can't just all of a sudden snap your fingers and say, well, we've been in quarantine for 5 months. That's enough. And we're good. Like it sucks. I wish we weren't. I wish we could have full fans and full everything. And we wish we could have life the way that it was, but you know, you're fighting the wrong battle when you are fighting against the restrictions rather than fighting against the disease. And, you know, just fight that disease, get the numbers, get the rates down. Then we can start talking about, you know, loosening things up. But we've kind of gone the opposite direction. And it's just no surprise that we can't seem to get this thing under control the way we've handled it.
Peter, it's great stuff. That's what I wanted today on a Friday. But it's always great to talk to you. It's great to hear your voice. Best of luck to your Tennessee Volunteers, who you get to.
Oh, God. They need them. They need it. They need
Man,
it.
Man, I wish the season would just cancel the rest of the season, right?
Getting a lot of that, I bet.
Getting a lot of that on the radio, I bet.
Yeah. It's not going well, Chris. But
let's go to Schnauzer.
And,
You're up.
Oh, that's a deep cut right there. And I appreciate that. That's outstanding. I miss you. I'm proud of you. Keep doing your thing. Tell Danny Mac I said hello. I'm a big SWDM guy, so I'm right there with you. And let's keep it rolling along, big boy.
Peter Ebbiston joining us from Memphis. And I, you know,
people say this, Chris. Hold on, wait a second. Hold on. People say this like it's all like you do an interview. You know, you do a lot of interviews. At the end, you're like, you know, oh yeah, it's great. I'm happy to join you anytime. And you're just saying it. But like, I'm being serious. Like anytime, if you call me like literally in the middle of a show, you're just like, hey, come talk to me. I'll talk to you. I mean that anytime. I could be wherever. I'm talking to you anytime. So I mean that. Just so try me one day. Just try me. And I guarantee you, I'll do it. I'm there. Let's do it. We're right there in the mix. I can't wait for it, in fact.
I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Go.
us on a Friday, and that'll do it for another week on the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out my chat with Dan yesterday in the Thursday list. I want you to send me your best sports fan faux pas. We'll send some, maybe a Scoops prize pack out to the couple of best entries that we get. Tweet me, tweet Dan, and let us know your sports fan faux pas. Big thanks to everyone this week. Big thanks to Ben Heisler and Peter Edmiston today. I'm Chris Raby. This has been the Chris Raby Show for another week on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We'll talk to you Monday. Until then, be nice to each other. And as always, peace. Every song that I've ever heard.